What's up, Mom? Sorry for the delay.
Lots of
love. Yeah, everybody.
This that foreign lyrical ride of this world flow. I ate the scroll given to me by Farazzo. Instructed and instructed, bring them all to me. And I just sort of salute up and go to work. See, I'm made for this, got a heart for this. I bleed, I die, I kill for this. Got the best made fit for a king for this. And I ain't even about to sell my soul for this. Just hearing, no bet your time has come for that silver lining. Keep pushing just to make it through that trial, keep climbing. The old R been gone, new name NASA. Fast as the speed of thought and I'm gone, can't catch up. Star born with a buzz, no celebrity. I just wanna teach and train to the boss, my boss like therapy. I'm elderly, that wisdom that I'm singing like a melody. So handsome with the flow, the game itself wanna marry me. Master flow to the beat in this holy matrimony. The rank music, national anthem, it's on, homie.
It's on, dollar fall, not pandemonium. Find the call, black people gotta stand alone. Gotta land on, got a man of throne. Be aware everywhere that we stand is home. We sing that new song, we make that truth known. We hit Goliath in the head with that smooth stone. If you ain't talking unifying, then what you on? You on that BS, you on that E-less. You on that blind, lead the blind till you see death. F-O-I-R-E the best. Negro stairway to the need some help. Can't feed yourself, can't free yourself. Can't be anything, can't be yourself.
Yo, the educator, the black woman celebrator, the subject and predicate synthesizer, equivalent with an elevator, the enterpriser, the never hater, the innovator, garbage incinerator, phony rapper intimidator, the mental simulator, the go-getter, the never been the waiter, estrogen enhancer, the effeminator, the vice lord, folk, black stone demonstrator, the originator, the never be an imitator, the drought is over, this the indicator, slap the down of an instigator, father go staff, incubator, the antithesis of an integrator, the shallow intellect disintegrator, African history commemorator, the pseudo doctor penetrator, grab the devil, humiliator and incriminator, the syndicator, the master Farah Muhammad, honor of old Elijah Muhammad, and Farrakhan emulator.
You are now listening to the DJ Black Caesar and French Show with Prince, Willie the Redneck, that Moonshine Drink Triple K member, Miss Big from Star Mob Radio.
I put my money in
number,
the freezer.
Not mine.
I call it cold cash, my coke stash.
Green Leaf, smoking it up producer. Bicycle Tony, Bing, Bang, Pow. I am T Black from 7th Letter Press. And DJ Black Caesar, a.k.a. the Landlord of the South.
Look, I'm finna make these niggas feel me. Fire all these pussy niggas out just shooting, trying to kill me.
Every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, yo, this is Blue Philly holding it down for DJ Black Caesar. Vanderbilt Media Music Group tells you rents due. Pay me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nation Billing. Hey, we got tonight's topic, man. It's going to be a hot one. It's about the same thing we talked about last weekend, but we got it back again. Nation Billing presents Defending Farrakhan Part 3. Your tonight's host is Sister Gidget. What's up, Sister Gidget?
Assalamu alaikum, DJ Black Caesar. Wow, you are so creative.
Hey, walaikum salam. How's everybody going out there tonight?
Fine, beloved. Assalamu alaikum, DJ Black.
Hey, nice to have you guys on tonight. Yes, sir. Nice to have you guys on tonight.
Yes, sir.
Hey, hey, bro, we're gonna keep it clean, though. We're gonna keep it clean tonight. We're gonna keep it clean.
Oh,
we're
yes,
gonna sir, get too violent.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Okay, well, I would like to welcome everyone back to Nation Building Presents Defending Farrakhan Part 3. As most of you are aware, we have been doing this for 3 weeks in a row now. And before we get started, before I introduce the panelists and our guests, I want to make a statement. I want everybody to be clear because I have received your comments, and of course I want to address your concerns, especially those of us who are in the Nation of Islam. You have asked me many times, why are we defending the minister? And I want to say personally on my behalf that the reason why we are defending the minister, who his personal self does not need any defense, but we are defending the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we are reaching for our people. And in a time that we're in now, where evil appears to be so fair-seeming, there are many, many people and many, many organizations and your alphabet crews that are coming out with their agents and attacking the minister to distract the people, the chosen people of Allah, from the truth. And it is our responsibility, it is our duty, it is our personal commitment, it is our sacrifice that we support and defend these teachings, because these teachings are life-saving as well as life-giving. Those of you who may not be so spiritual, I think it's just time for you to understand that this is a war between good and evil, and we are on the battlefield of that war. So we are trying to do our part in reaching out and saving our people, and that's what we have committed to do. So I pray that everyone has the understanding of the purpose of the defense of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. And of course, my distinguished panelists also, I'm sure, with no doubt, share that same passion. And it is my honor once again to have with us my beloved brother, my student minister, my friend, student minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Gidget. And to the listening audience and to our co-panelists, I'm very happy and honored to be here for this particular event regarding the defense or defending Farrakhan. First of all, we preface all of our statements in the name of Allah, with the name and help of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but He. And we thank him for making his appearance known in the person of Master Farrad Muhammad, the great, great Mahdi, and raising up from our midst his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer. He is warner. He is reformer. He is Redeemer. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is to him that I am deeply grateful and highly honored to stand on his behalf and on that behalf of truth, uncompromisingly, to defend both him and the message that he delivers to the best of my ability. I want to say, dear sister, co-panelists, all of you who are listening, from the time that the minister has initiated these lecture series, the time and what must be done, there has been a plethora of agents who have come out against him, trying to malign and besmirch his character, to excoriate him in the media, in the press, to attack him and the efficacy and veracity of what he is saying. Dear family, we anticipate this because it is written in Scripture. And while Sister Gidget is absolutely right, my sister Queen Aziza Muhammad is absolutely right. He needs no defense. However, history is best qualified to reward our research. And according to scriptural history, when Jesus was taken to trial, it wasn't really his trial. And the scripture says he opened not up his mouth. Why? It was the trial of those whom he had miraculously healed. It was the trial of blind Bartimaeus, whom he gave sight. It was the trial of the brother that was lame, and he said, pick up your bed and walk. It was the trial of the woman who suffered an issue of blood. None of them came to testify to the quality, to the character, and to the goodness of this man. Well, that is a prototypical picture of what could occur today, and I want to benefit from my research of history, particularly that scriptural history, that I make not the same mistake, and we should not make the same mistake that they made. And so we stand boldly in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, to defend this man and his message. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, Brother James. And we also have with us, I want to first say, if Mr. Mike Whittle, who is the person who is supposed to engage in a debate or discussion with Student Minister James, if you have called in, please press 1 on your dial pad so that we can recognize you and bring your mic in live. I'm waiting, so nothing yet. But we have a mediator here in the event that Mr. Whittle decides to show up. That's my dear beloved little brother, so full of fire, frontline soldier to the day he dies. My beloved brother Jihad Ali, DFOI. Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Walaikum salam, Queen. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am well.
Salam, sir. How are you doing?
I'm on top of the world by Allah's grace, dear brother.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay, so Brother Jihad, once again, introduce yourself, beloved, and also share with us the rules of this discussion that we're having tonight. And again, before Brother Jihad begins, I want to, again, because we have some more people to call in since I made the announcement just now, Mr. Mike Whittle, if you are on the phone, press 1 on your dial pad so we can bring your mic in live to start the discussion. Okay, so Brother Jihad, you have some rules of engagement for us. So
yes,
if you would proceed, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. I would like to say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness of no God but Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and Muhammad is his messenger. I'm Brother Jihad Ali, four-star general of the Defenders of Farrakhan. And before I lay down the rules for tonight's discussion, I would like to say that we, the Defenders of Farrakhan, are to renew our commitment to the profession of war. Now is the time for us to reflect not just on the lessons of war, but on who we are and what we do. We are professional warriors, guardians of the Constitution who reflect our nation's ideals. We are professional defenders, not because we say so, but because of how we serve. Ours is an all-volunteer force. Muslims, we said our life and our death is all for Allah, freely and without any mental reservation, to live a life for which we may die. We are simply not doing a job. We are answering a call to join an uncommon profession, the Defenders of Farrakhan. It is a profession of experts in the use of supreme wisdom, military power to defend our minister and our nation. This is what we do. This is who we are. We are the Defenders of Farrakhan, and not only of Farrakhan, but the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and Master Farah Muhammad, and we play no games. Don't get it twisted.
Go ahead,
and as far as tonight's rules is concerned, Rule number one, no disrespectful conduct towards nobody in particular on this panel. Number two, each point will be addressed one at a time. Number three, before the start, each person must confirm which group of people or organization they'll be representing. Number five, no slander of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan regarding his personal life, financial situations, or any other situations not relating to the subject will be accepted. There will be no personal insults of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Both participants must call Minister Farrakhan either these names: Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, names like Farrakhan or Farrakhan Vic, or any type of mocking names will result into an automatic disqualification. Brother James, I'm pretty sure we ain't got to worry about that from you, brother.
No, sir.
That being said, that's the rules and that's the regulations. So we're just awaiting Mr. Whittle.
Okay, and thank you. And I wanted to get started, but again, we have so many people calling in, so I'm going to put the information out there one more time, and I have inboxed Mr. Whittle. If you are on the call, Mr. Whittle, please press 1 on your dial pad so we can recognize you and bring you in. Going once, going twice, three times. Okay. Mr. Whittle, it has not responded to my inbox message, nor has he press 1 on the phone, so I don't know if he is going to even appear. If there's anyone out there who desires to speak who may be in opposition of the minister, you are welcome to make your point known at this time, because we are defending the minister from all angles. And Brother Jahad, since you are here and since you were able to participate in the debate that occurred last night, give me one of the things that was discussed that people who are saying that the minister is deviating from the teachings. What do you think is the most talked about so-called deviation that comes to mind for you that you've heard the most?
Well, Queen, in all honesty, I'm just be 100% with you. Those who say that the minister is deviating from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, either, number one, never been a registered member in the Nation of Islam. Number two, if they have been a registered member in the Nation of Islam, most of them are bitter. Most of them are full of rage and hate because of the fact that either some minister or some believer or even the minister himself has some way pissed them off to a level beyond festivity. So now what they do is they just cry and rant on these social websites or at home in their basement with a bucket of fried chicken next to them, and they aren't doing nothing with their lives but complaining about people who are actually doing something with their lives and actually are manifesting the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They don't have any life whatsoever, so they just sit back and complain. And what I heard most all the time is Farrakhan is changing the teachings of the messenger. Well, how is he changing the teachings of the messenger? Well, because of the fact that, number one, we had a discussion about the messenger said not to vote, even though that's not what he said, but he said not to vote, and Farrakhan is voting. They find that as changing the teaching. They find that when the minister actually suspended us during Ramadan in the month of December and us doing Ramadan with the brothers and sisters in the East, that's changing the teaching. They find that since we, quote-unquote, are now integrated, which is a damn lie, in the Nation of Islam, that's changing the teachings. They find that since we got Scientology or whatever you want to call it, since we're studying Dianetics, that's changing the teachings. Not mentioning the fact that they don't know the teachings, they're not even involved or have evolved in the teachings. They want us to go back in a time machine and back to 1954 and stay there and just speak the language that the messenger spoke back then. But they overlook the fact that we're supposed to be quick thinking, fast moving right down to the modern times. Meaning that if the messenger was around today, let's believe he won't be using no damn cassette tapes to try to take his lectures. He'll use DVDs, he'll be using MySpace or Twitter or Facebook, he'll be on Skype.
the messenger will, utilize modern technology. Now, I mean, so they just throw out anything. Anything the minister do, they find that deviating. If the minister decide to wear a gray suit, oh, he deviates. If he decides to wear his damn shoes the way he wears his shoes, he's deviating. If he decides to just walk around not wearing a suit and wear something casual, he's deviating. Everything he does, he's deviating. Not to mention the fact none of these nobodies and these bums and these liars and these hypocrites don't know nothing about the restricted law, don't know nothing about the deportation of Moon, don't know nothing about Yaku, don't know nothing about anything that the messenger taught. Only thing they know is that the white man is the devil, and that's the only thing they always want to talk about, because in reality, they're still bowing down to Master.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jahar. And Student Minister James.
Yeah.
You know, I would like for you, if you would, to expound on that one particular issue again, if you can, in detail, as it relates to Dianetics, because I know that was one of the issues that came up last night. And wait, hold on just a second. Okay, I have I have two mics, two people who raised their hands. I don't know which one may be Mr. Whittle, so DJ Black Caesar, can you open up the mic for area code 661? We are not yet taking questions, but if you are going to stand in opposition of Minister Farrakhan, we will take your call. Or is this Mr. Whittle?
No.
Area code 661, your mic is open. Did you have a comment to make, sir? Area code 661?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we can mute that one out, DJ Black Caesar. Let's go to area code 251 and let's see if that's Mr. Whittle.
No, this is not Mr. Whittle.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Okay, you can mute that one out, too. Okay. So, Brother James, can you expound for us again on Dianetics, and this time from what the minister has instructed us directly about Dianetics and not Scientology as a whole, so people can be clear about the direction that the minister is going in?
Yes, ma'am, with the help of Allah. I'd like to respond by quoting or reading that which the minister has said regarding our involvement with Dianetics. He stated, and I quote, "I have found something here that I know we need that will enable us to express the supreme wisdom that we already have. But it's like having a safe full of riches, but we lost the combination. So through Mr. L. Ron Hubbard, we can open up the wisdom we have. I believe that Master Farad Muhammad knew there would be a meeting like this. I don't know whether he met Mr. L. Ron Hubbard, but I believe there was some contact. There's something here that belongs to us, and L. Ron Hubbard was a man we were destined to meet at the proper time. The greatest gift," he continues, "I could give you after the supreme wisdom is the technology to us or to use it. And that technology is here," meaning with the Church of Scientology and specifically Dianetics. "Every believer in the nation needs what you experience this week." He was referencing what the executive staff had experienced as they were the first to attend the instruction or the training. Now, first of all, what is Dianetics? Dianetics is a word that has a Greek derivation. The first part of it, dia, means through. And the second part, netix, has its root in the word nous, meaning mind or soul. The process of Dianetics is that wherein an orator, one trained in counseling, poses a certain or an amount of skillfully placed or skillfully posed questions to the one he is counseling, and from that process, he extracts what is called, first identifies, and then extracts what is called an engram. An engram is a residual trace on a cell. Any moment of greater or lesser unconsciousness on the part of the analytical mind, which permits the reactive mind to recall. The total, all perceptics, meaning our senses, any sense message such as a sight, sound, or smell. Now, in a less technical definition, Dianetics is the process by which we bring to present time those negative thoughts as a result of negative experiences that we have had in our lives. We identify them and then deal with the negative effect that they have, even though these experiences were in the past, the residual effect that it has on our current behavior through the identification and through the refiling of them from the what is called the reactive mind to the analytical mind, those influences of those negative experiences no longer have control over us. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Many of us, I'm sure, have eaten some food sometime in our lives that has made us sick. Let's take, for an example, an egg. This could have happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago, depending upon how old we are. Yet today, we will say, when offered an egg, we will say, I'm sorry, I don't eat eggs. Well, why don't you eat eggs? I don't eat eggs because they made me sick. And when was that? 10 years ago. That is the thinking of a reactive mind. It is clear that the egg you are now being offered 10 years later is not the same egg that you ate 10 years ago. However, because of the engram, which is the residual trace in your mind of the experience, you are allowing a 10-year-old experience govern, shape, control, and direct your current behavior. Subsequently, we may think we are perceiving correctly. We may think, as a result of our perceptions, we are behaving correctly. But in reality, we are not. And so Dianetics is the technology by which we identify and bring to the surface and refile from the reactive mind that engram to what is called the analytical mind, and the analytical rational mind will tell you, just because I got sick 10 years ago, this is definitely not the same egg or the same food, so I probably won't get sick now. That's analytical. That's rational. To think that the food today will make you sick as it did 10 years ago is irrational. And we, particularly the black man and woman of America, have what is called a group engram, where our past seriously affects our current thinking and subsequently our behavior. This is why, brothers and sisters, we cannot get along one with the other. This is why, brothers and sisters, We exalt the white man and abase our own selves. At the root of all of this is self-hatred, but what makes us hate self? It is that teaching and training and conditioning that our forefathers received hundreds of years ago, yet we are acting according to the effects of that negative experience, even though it is centuries old. Now, according to the scripture, Jesus cast demons out of people. And, of course, it is recorded that he cast demons out of a man, and they ran into a swine, and then, or a pig, and the pig ran into the sea. Well, no one asks, how did he do it? I don't think he waved his hand over the man and said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be thou exorcised. I mean, that's what Hollywood might want you to think. But no. And since our Father, God himself, is the universal and supreme scientist, we after him are striving to be scientists, and therefore we approach the matter in a scientific way. So the technology of Dianetic auditing is that technology by which demons or engrams can be exorcised from the human being and they become what is known as clear. Now, I want us to focus on that word.
Okay, Brother James, just one second, please. I think Mr. Whittle may have joined us. DJ Black Caesar, can you check area code 302?
Yes,
area code 302. Is this Mr.
Yes.
Whittle?
Yes.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Whittle. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Okay, well, we're happy to have you with us. And as you know, this program was set up for you and Brother Student Minister James Muhammad to have a discussion on those things that you feel that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is deviating from. So I'm so happy that you have finally joined us. And, of course, with Brother James' permission, we would like to yield to you at this time for you to make any opening statement, introduce yourself, and tell us, you know, exactly how you feel the minister has deviated from the teaching.
Okay, here's where I'm going to start from. It started from a post where I posed a question asking whether or not Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam was taking on Scientology. I got different answers. I got different responses. I responded to some of the responses, and I got responses from those responses. It also led me to pose a question that I've always had out there. I was never satisfied with the answers I got, and that was the role that Minister Farrakhan played in the whole crew that was set up to take down Malcolm X. So that's what I posted, and sometimes that offends people, and some people think that's an issue that's resolved and should be okay. It's done, it's dealt with. So more information is coming out, and as we know, information will come out every day, which is going to change everybody's perspective and still bring up more questions. So when I posted that, it seemed like it upset some people. I also asked about whether or not Farrakhan was still involved in the doctrine of separation, which was preached by Elijah Muhammad. And if so, why is he seen with pictures of so with him and so many Europeans, you know what I mean, who they once declared blue-eyed devils, you know what I mean? So these are the questions I was asking, and this led me to believe, just based on what I see and what I've been hearing, even come from him, it leads me to believe that he's strayed away from the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay, so I don't know if you were on earlier, but if you would just give us a second, I want Brother Jihad Ali to come in and reiterate the rules of discussion. And, of course, it is our intention to answer all of your concerns, all of your questions. So, Brother Jahad, can you give the rules of discussion again, and then we'll take one point from you, Mr. Whittle, and we'll have Brother Student Minister James address it. So, Brother Jahad, if you would, please.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Rule number one, no disrespectful conduct towards one another. Number two, each point will be addressed one at a time. Number three, before the start, each person must confirm which group of people or organization they'll be representing. Number four, no slander of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan regarding his personal life, financial situations, or any other situation not relating to the topic or subject will be accepted. There will be no personal insults of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Both participants must call Minister Farrakhan either these names: Louis Farrakhan, Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or the Minister. Names like Farrakhan or Farrakhanvic or any mocking names will result in automatic disqualification.
Okay. So, Mr. Whittle, what is the first thing you wanted to discuss? Because you named about two or three for sure. So what is the first one?
Is the Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam now embrace and subscribe to the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Student Minister James, would you please... respond to Mr. Whittle.
Yes, thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Dear brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has guided us toward and into a technology by which we could deal with subconscious demons that have been plaguing us ever since our fathers have set the soles of their feet in the Western Hemisphere. The word Dianetics has the derivation of Greek, the first part dia, meaning through, and the second part Dianetics takes its root in the word nous, meaning mind or soul. And it is a process of ordering, which generally means listening. And once a trained auditor in Dianetics has his certification and his training, he will engage what is called a pre-clear, or someone who has not gone under the study, and through a counseling process, which is called auditing, through carefully placed questions, that person can visit those past experiences in his life that had negative results, and the negative results are now affecting his current behavior. This is called an engram. And an engram, by definition, is a residual trace on a cell, which means that any past experience that was attended by negative results leaves a residual trace on the cell of the human being. That residual trace, that negative experience, while they're no longer necessarily suffering the pain of that experience, yet in current time, in present time, the negative experience and its residual effect has a great influence on the current behavior of the individual. Dianetics is a technology that was offered and is offered by L. Ron Hubbard. It is not necessarily Scientology. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we're not going to get another religion. We have the best religion, Islam. And he referred to a hadith wherein it states that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that we must, if we have to, go all the way to China to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. He didn't say that once you go all the way to China and get the knowledge that you should renounce what you are, who you are, and become a Chinaman. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, study the white man. He works in a collective manner, making no excuses for his failure, and he is successful. You do the same. Sometimes I have to question why many of us who sit under the tutelage and educational training of universities' professors who are not white, who are not black, and certainly not Muslim, yet we will allow them to teach us, to train us, to correct us. For what? So that we can obtain the knowledge which we are pursuing as a result of being in the college or university.
I just want to say, is that a yes or a no to the question that I asked? That you said
the
a
question,
lot, but
the,
I asked
the,
you a specific...
The answer is no. Well, I'm explaining, and let me share something with you, dear brother.
Okay, so excuse me.
You're not the only one
no.
listening. The answer is no, and I'm
okay.
explaining
all
this
right.
not only for you, brother. Now I think you're being rude because they will let you know, the moderator will let you know when I'm finished. And
oh,
I will
okay.
do the same
okay.
for you.
I apologize. I only wanted to know the answer to that question specifically. That's all.
Well, if no satisfies you, then the answer is no.
Okay.
But I
all
gave
right.
an explanation... Okay. Not for your benefit alone, but for the benefit of those who may be listening who have that same question. So the answer is no. Let's
okay,
move
thank
on.
You. All right. Can I, the next question was, does Minister Farrakhan still teach the doctrine of separation that was taught by Elijah Muhammad?
Absolutely, dear brother. And if you would have listened or tuned in to his latest installment, in his lecture series of the time and what must be done, you wouldn't have that question today because separation is what he spoke on. And he shared unequivocally that we have to separate from the white man and we have to separate from America and they should let the black man go. And since being to the point...
Yeah.
I will, since being to the point is what you obviously respect, I'll end that answer there.
Well, if you look at the post that I posted, it was about whether or not Farrakhan was being honest about his position on a lot of things, because I even seen a thing where he endorsed Tyler Perry's Madea as the emblem of a strong black woman. And then look at that character and study that character. And, would you endorse Madea as the backbone of the black family, as the idea of the strong black woman?
I understand your concern. May I answer? Are you finished?
Yeah, that's a question.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
I'll be glad to respond, brother. If you're finished stating
okay.
your concern, I'll be glad to respond. The concept of Madea is the concept of a strong, black, no-nonsense, disciplinary woman. He was not condoning dressing up like a woman. He was not condoning a man acting like a woman. Principally, he was dealing with the concept that Madea represented. And that concept unmistakably and undeniably is a concept of a no-nonsense, very disciplinary woman who knows how to raise her children and in the absence of a man is strong enough to guide the children, give the children principles of growth and development, of morality, of discipline, of obedience, of manners. That's the concept that image represents. And he was referencing the concept, not the actual dressing up as a woman, but the concept.
Okay.
And he even said that.
Okay, now Madea smokes weed, and Madea's in and out of jail, too.
Well,
okay.
That is true. That is definitely true. And if you want to
take... Can we say that is model behavior for because my grandmother didn't act like that. My mother didn't act like that. My aunts didn't act like that. They didn't act like that. They were good examples.
No,
they
brother.
Act like that.
No, no.
They
that,
went in and
that,
out of jail.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'll wait till you finish. I'm sorry. No, brother, that is not model behavior, and those kinds of behaviors is not what he was referring to. He was referring to the concept of a woman who is strong enough to raise children, discipline children, and guide children properly. A strong black woman. And let me say this, there are many who are listening to this, in all probability, listening to this program that have been raised by a strong black disciplinary woman. Just like the image that Madea portrays. But in terms, dear brother, of the smoking, the being in and out of jail, of course he's not referencing that. And we've had strong parents, but our parents smoked, many of them. Our parents drank, many of them. And many of our parents may have spent some time in and out of jail. But if they were good fathers and good mothers, all we extol them of is the fact that they raised us properly, that they gave us manners, they disciplined us, they made us what we are today. And we thank our mother who may have smoked. We thank our father who may have drank. We thank our parents who may have spent some time in jail, knowing that that is not the sum total of them, nor is that for which we are thankful. And this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is referencing, the good concept of Madea, obviously not smoking and drinking. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a highly intelligent person. He wouldn't make that kind of blunder to say that that smoking and drinking and being in and out of jail is a good example. No, he was referring to those good qualities. And for those of you who may be thinking like that, I'm glad you brought the question up, brother, and I hope I made it clear.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I mean, now, because of the things that I posted, is it all right if I just ask you those questions? Or just
brother,
bring them
you
to the
can
floor?
Ask me anything you like. By the grace
okay,
of Allah.
But before we go on, if you two don't mind, just 1 second, because I'm getting a lot of questions on the phone, and I just want to tell the listening audience that we will get to your questions. We're going to let Mr. Whittle and Student Minister James have their discussion, and then we're going to yield to the audience where you can ask questions of Mr. Whittle or Student Minister James. So let us get, you know, deep into the discussion first, and maybe the last 45 minutes or so of the broadcast, we will open the line for questions. Okay,
Sister Aziza,
I apologize,
Sister
gentlemen.
Sister Aziza, those
yes,
rules
sir.
Also apply for the callers as well, those who do not follow the minister or have a problem with what he's teaching. The rules that goes for this discussion goes for them as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Jihad. Okay, I'm sorry, gentlemen. Please proceed. Mr. Whittle, I think you were about to ask a question.
Yes. I posted a video because we brought up the discussion about Minister Farrakhan's role, or if there was a role, in Malcolm X's demise. A lot of people believe that I was posting to say that he directly had something to do with it. I never believed that, but I do believe that some of the things he said helped set the tone for a smokescreen so that something can happen to our brother. And what I didn't understand was, it, you know, people say that the video doesn't say that he says he did it. He used the word, he said the phrase, I may have been complicit. And complicit means an accomplice. Now, I don't know if he made that statement in error, but that word means I may have been an accomplice in the words that I spoke, is what he said. And I have a reference to articles that was in the Muhammad Speaks newspaper after the suspension of Malcolm X and then the campaign to bring him down. Minister Farrakhan, who came in under Malcolm X, who was his personal friend, because Malcolm took him under his wing and really educated him and prepared him for his ministry real good. And Minister Farrakhan did a good job. The thing was, what could he have done so wrong that would make him, would look to me like a betrayal of his friend and mentor by putting articles in Muhammad Speaks newspaper that called for his death? You know what I mean? So in that statement, in the clip where he's speaking with Asada, because I've seen the whole tape, he makes the statement that I may have been complicit. So, and then if you look at that whole broadcast, there's a clip in there where Mr. Farrakhan is saying at a speech, did you raise Malcolm? Did you present Malcolm? Did you educate Malcolm in presenting to the world? And he made some other accolades. Then he said, well, if not, and if we dealt with Malcolm as other nations deal with traitors, what business is it of yours? That was the statement that he made. That was a statement that Cliff was showing to Malcolm's wife, Betty Shabazz, and she made a comment. So I don't know if he was just blowing smoke, or if he was just, you know, or if he was boldly making that admission. You know what I mean? As if the nation did have some role in it. Not as a major role, but some role in it. That I'm wondering if people heard that word complicit, because that's what it alludes to. Brother,
okay,
there?
Brother James.
Peace.
Brother James.
Is it the brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm sorry, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can
hear you. Yes, sir, we can hear you
okay,
now.
Okay, very good. Dear brothers and our listening audience, it is a matter of record that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that there may have been words, or there were words, that he stated that contributed to an atmosphere wherein Malcolm could be assassinated. And he said, wherein we have responsibility, all of us have to take our responsibility. But to say or to think, I'm not saying you said that, but to think that this was the initiating cause, this is the predicate, or this is what precipitated the assassination of Malcolm, I think would just be naive. The government of the United States of America hated Malcolm. They hated the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they hated the Nation of Islam, and they were ever desirous of trying to destroy Malcolm. So they may have taken advantage of a situation where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said he said words that may have contributed to an atmosphere wherein Malcolm could have been assassinated or was assassinated. That means, in simpler terms, if you and I, dear brother, are in an argument and we have an enemy that hates us both, they're looking for some excuse to get to either one of us, either you or me, but they want to do so under the cover of guys, lies, and tricks. And when they see an opportunity to frame either you or me because of our open and spoken disagreement one with the other, they take advantage of it. Now, if you'll allow, I know you like to get right to the point. Let me just finish my point, and I'll be as brief as I can, dear brother. When a man is self-effacing, that is to say, when a man recognizes something that they may have done that was not necessarily correct and admits to it, then that is the end of that. And if any of us worship God, believe in a God, then we have to believe that God forgives us our mistakes, errors, and sins. And I'm not saying he sinned, But what I am saying is what he said, that he made statements that may have contributed to an atmosphere wherein Malcolm could be killed, and in fact was killed. But in terms of any member of the Nation of Islam having a hand in it as a result of following the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's desires, that is absolutely false. And today, as I conclude, this is my conclusion, and today, after many years of demanding of the United States government and its court system, its judiciary system, to reopen the case of the assassination of Malcolm X, knowing that they have arrested the wrong people and had that brother or those brothers in jail unjustifiably and illegally when they were not guilty of the crime. Open up the files. This is what we're asking the government. Open up the files and let us look at your participation and complicity in the assassination of not only Malcolm, but of Martin and all black leaders that you have had a hand in assassinating or degrading or slandering or rendering them ineffective. Open up the files is what we say and what we demand, and they have yet to respond. And that should tell you, since they don't wish to open up the files, that they lie about the whole incident.
I agree. Now, what about the other statement made? If we dealt with Malcolm as other nations deal with traitors, what business is it of yours?
Certainly, I'll respond. Yes, sir, I'll respond to that. Although I must say, I can't effectively speak on the mindsets of those back then. I wasn't even around. Well, I was around, but I wasn't in the nation. But let me share with you this. You made the statements that Malcolm trained the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Malcolm befriended the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Malcolm mentored and tutored the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. However, Malcolm Shabazz, I don't want to dishonor his name, but Malcolm Shabazz was not the reason why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came to the Nation of Islam. He came to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that redeemed him, that reformed him, that resurrected him, that saved him, not the teachings of Malcolm. So even though the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was tutored by Malcolm, befriended by Malcolm, and loved Malcolm, yet when it came down to the decision as to who he would be faithful to, he decided to go with that one who saved his life, and that is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the man who raised the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from an entertainer into the man that he is now.
I listened to what you said. I agree with it with the lessons that made him the man that he is. However, I just think that if me and my man is, if I look at it like this, if I have a friend, if it looked like my friend did something that stepped over the line and we both share the same teaching, I think I would step to him personally. I don't know about the public attacks, or I don't know what motivated him to do the public attacks in the Muhammad Speaks newspapers. So I was wondering about, and I'm all of this brings in the question of the character of the man that we choose as leaders, you know. And my thing is, I question everybody. It's nothing personal with Minister Farrakhan. I'm just like this. I question everybody. So these are just some of the things that come to my mind, and these are the things that I'll bring up. So back to my point. My friend, I would tell my friend, if this is my friend, or if I'm going to treat him like my brother, I'm going to pull him to the side and let him know, listen, we got to work this out where nobody comes out hurt. Because all of them understood the atmosphere. All of them, they understood how volatile the atmosphere at the time was when it came out that Minister Elijah Muhammad was having children and sexual relations with women that he wasn't married to, or at least public, you know, other ministers didn't know that he wasn't married to her. But, and then they say that because it became public, Malcolm was the one who betrayed Elijah. You know what I mean? So I understand that if that was the case, and this is my man, why not pull him to the side instead of joining the campaign that was set such an atmosphere? That was one of the things I always wanted. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I understand what you're saying, and I'd like to respond. First and foremost, dear brother, you don't know that he did it. You don't know that he whether or not he talked to Malcolm, Brother Malcolm. You don't know what transpired between them. As far as I know of the history, and again, I wasn't there, he shared with Malcolm. Once Malcolm began to say disparaging things about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he shared with Malcolm, because Malcolm told him, "Now, I don't want you to tell anybody." He said, "I'm not going to tell anyone except the Honorable Elijah Muhammad." Why? Because his loyalty, first and foremost, is to the Messenger of Allah. That's the first loyalty. And the Holy Quran says, obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah. There's nowhere in the Quran that says obey your mentor, or obey your friend, or obey that one who you had a good relationship with. And so his first loyalty is to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to the commands of Almighty God Allah. And so he said, I'm not going to tell anyone except the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when he said that, Malcolm asked him, Brother Malcolm asked him, well, brother, let me talk to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first before
That's
you
right.
tell him.
That's right.
And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, well, brother, it's going to take me some time in words. I don't know if this is quoting him perfectly, but he said, it's going to take me some time to get my mind around what you told me. So within that time, if you could get your letter out before me, go ahead. It was not until the Malcolm X went in the public and began to make slanderous remarks about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that these virulent words came from his mouth. And you have to understand, brother, if someone is to talk about your father, whom you love, who raised you, who nurtured you, who cleaned you up, who saved your life from a life that may have been otherwise self-destructive, your loyalty would be to your father. So if your brother went out from the family and in the public and began to make disparaging and slanderous remarks about your father, you would come against your brother, in the sense that your first loyalty would be to your father. And this is when the virulent statements came out from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I want to say for the record, brother, those were his wives. He was married to those women. And they are today alive, those wives. And if you would go back into the archives and look at and listen to the lecture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave at the Apollo Theater, I forgot which year it was, but his wives, those same sisters, were sitting on the rostrum with him, and including Dr. Shabazz. And their wives made testimony of the morality of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the honesty of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the purity and responsibility of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These are those same women that the press said that he had an illicit relationship with. No, they were his wives. And they declare themselves to be his wives today, and we respect them today, and we admire and love them today, and when we reference them, we call them mothers in the Nation of Islam.
Okay. Yeah, because I always wondered about that. Was it because they were his wives, or was it because they were underage? Or, you know, there's a lot of reports about them being underage, and there's reports about them not being married. So
absolutely.
That's what I was wondering about, because I was wondering how could they call it slanderous remarks if they were true.
Well, I understand. I'm sorry, but I just want to say this, dear brother, and I don't mean any disrespect. But Allah teaches us in the Quran that when an unrighteous man brings you something, look into it carefully before you wind up hurting an innocent people unjustly and be sorry for what you did. But whenever the enemy promotes something, our first act should be to disbelieve it. He's a liar and a murderer and abodes not in the truth. The scripture says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if they promote something, particularly about your brother or about your people in the press, whether that press be publication or electronic, or even by the way of innuendo or gossip, look carefully into him, because he's a liar from the word go.
So, okay, so you're saying Malcolm was the liar. And
no, I'm talking about the people. No. I'm sorry you misunderstood. I'm talking about the people that promoted the statements and the slanderous remarks in the press. No, I'm not talking about that at all.
Okay.
But you must remember in the history, make sure that you're clear, dear brother. In the history, it was Malcolm that went to his wife. It was Brother Malcolm that went to his wife and said, I can defend the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Look at David. Look at Abraham. Look at Solomon. Look at all of the worthies and divine messengers and prophets of God. Look at Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and them all. They all had wives. So I can defend him in this. And obviously there were other things that were going on. Again, I'm not there. I wasn't there. So there may have been some other things going on with Brother Malcolm, but I won't speak on that.
Okay. All right, because I'm wondering why didn't Wallace Dean get the same treatment when he took the information to Malcolm?
Well, you know, dear brother, I'm at a handicap in terms of answering these particular questions that are in the history, and I was nowhere around. I do know, however,
I can answer those questions. I was around.
All right. Well, then I defer to my sister. Go ahead, sister. Queen.
What
Adisa.
Was your question about Wallace?
Say it again.
What was your question about Wallace?
The question was, the information came out that Wallace Dean was the one who presented this information to Malcolm X. Why wasn't he treated the same, or was there a different treatment of him because somehow he inherited the Nation of Islam? You know what I mean?
Okay.
After that, all was said and done, when Elijah Muhammad passed away, it was Wallace Dean Muhammad who inherited the Nation of Islam as his leader. At least briefly, you know, and then he changed it to the world community of Islam. But why, I was wondering, why didn't he get the same treatment, or did he? You know what I mean? Don't look like he did get the same treatment as Malcolm when he was the one who took that information to Malcolm.
Well, first of all, him being the one that took that information to Malcolm has yet to be verified. Second of all, during that time, when Malcolm was silenced by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm went to Africa, so-called to take Hajj, and at that time became involved in Al-Islam, the FBI and the CIA were following Malcolm, and at that time, even though they had not spoken with Malcolm, they were making press releases in American newspapers saying that Malcolm was giving interviews overseas talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when Malcolm never did that. So if that information may have very well came from a newspaper article, which they used the situation that Wallace D. Muhammad was not favorable, so to speak, for lack of a better word, of his father. He did not see his father as being the messenger of Allah, and he was often in and out of the Nation of Islam. So they were the press and the CIA and the FBI were using those situations to pit one against the other. But I have not found any record where Wardi Muhammad ever said that he discussed with Malcolm the domestic life of his father. And if he did, there's certainly no documented interview of Malcolm in Africa with the CIA or the FBI giving them that information. They used a volatile situation where Malcolm was silenced and Malcolm has separated himself from the Nation of Islam to create a negative situation between the messenger and Malcolm. So that never happened.
Okay, I understand what you said, and it didn't answer my question, though, because there's a difference in the way Wallace Dean was treated and the way Malcolm was treated. Wallace Dean was not a believer.
He didn't believe in his father as being the messenger of Allah. So if you declare to your father that I don't believe that you are the messenger of Allah, how was he supposed to be treated? He was going to be treated like he was treated.
He inherited
the Nation of Islam, just like if your father passed away and you got, you know, he had some property, okay, and it goes to his children. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave all of the believers the instruction to follow, to hear, to obey the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, and to continue to hear the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. He never said continue to hear Wallace D. Muhammad.
Okay.
He never said that. That was not the instruction to the believers from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
May I interject something,
yes,
dear sister
absolutely.
And brother? There are many who are knowledgeable of this history, and I suppose that one who is knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than myself, sent me a text, and the text stated, Wallace personally, or Wardi Dean Muhammad, personally denounced and denied that he told Malcolm X such a thing concerning his father during an interview.
Mm-hmm.
If I may interject, family, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I would like to say this regarding Wardi Muhammad. I was listening to this lecture the minister did, or not a lecture, it was an interview that he did. And during the interview, the minister said that he knew that the messenger wanted him to run the Nation of Islam after he departed. In fact, Wardi Muhammad, just going to say it frankly, hijacked the Nation of Islam after the messenger departed. The minister said himself that during Savior's Day 75, that if he was to make any statements downing or degrading or knocking down the leadership of Wardi Muhammad, the FOI was to come and snatch him up off the stage and carry him out back and do what they had to do with him. So Wardi Muhammad actually hijacked it. It was like a coup d'etat, the Nation of Islam. And regarding Malcolm's statements that he made of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have them right here in front of me. he said these words, and let's just look at it on this point of view. Here's the man, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who raised up Malcolm. Not only Malcolm, Muhammad Ali,
a nation.
He raised up a whole nation.
A nation.
He helped,
yes,
he's
he
helping
did.
Black people. He reformed black people. He's teaching black
yes,
people.
Yes, he did.
He made
I agree.
Malcolm. He made Malcolm the man that he was, and then in that same breath, here's Malcolm. Malcolm calls on the public tell live vision of the enemy of both him and the messenger of Allah, the white man's public screen. And he says these words here about the messenger. He says, yes, he's an immoral. So now he goes, he's knocking down the character of the messenger. And then he says, you can't take 9 teenage women and seduce them and give them babies. You tell me you're moral. You can do it if you admitted it. I could shake your hand and call you a man, a good one too. But anytime you seduce teenage girls and make them be tried with adultery and make them hide your crimes, well, you're not even a man, more or less a divine man. And then as this wasn't even bad enough, he goes on and said, I'm not speculating. He told me this himself. Yes. This is why he wanted me dead, because he knew soon as I wake up, I would tell it. The only thing I regret in all of this is two black groups have to fight and kill each other off. Elijah Muhammad could stop the whole thing tomorrow if he wanted to by raising his hand. Really, he could, but he won't. He doesn't love black people. He doesn't even love his own followers, proof as which they are killing each other. The man has gone insane. Absolutely out of his mind. Besides, you can't be 70 years old and surround yourself around a handful of 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old girls and keep your right mind. You can't do it. Now, such statements are made about the messenger of Allah on a public TV, radio. Everybody is broadcasting it, and not only is this slander, it's a lie. Because he was married to those sisters. He knew about polygamy. He know damn well in the 1960s and 70s or wherever, black people didn't know nothing about no polygamy. We didn't know nothing about no
yes,
having extra
did.
Wives and all
yes,
that.
Yes, they did.
No,
We've been known about that for years, brother. I'm the only one who knew about that. Wait a minute, everybody cannot talk at the same time because we cannot hear you.
Understood. Okay, dear Queen, I'm asking to interject. Because where Malcolm's family is concerned, where the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad family is concerned, we have specific instructions and guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And while the family of Malcolm, whoever may be around, is suffering as a result of the recent murder of Malcolm X's grandson. And, of course, the instruction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and guidance wherein he said that none of us are qualified to judge any of the messenger's family. Now, in the scriptures, and I want to put a pin in it, I don't mean to be disrespectful, certainly not to you, Brother Jihad, and not to you either, Brother Mike. Can I call you Brother Mike instead of Mr. Whittle? Is that all right?
Call me Mike, yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The scripture says, these words are put in the mouth of the Jesus. He said, if I destroy the temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. So if the temple, meaning the nation of Islam, was destroyed, and by whom, or who was the instrument of its destruction? He was an agent of the Jesus. And if the temple is rebuilt, that is the nation of Islam, he too is an agent of the Jesus. So it is the Jesus doing the destroying and the Jesus doing the rebuilding. And so while God uses instruments, vessels, people to exercise his will or the fruition of his will, yet we must look to the source. And on the basis of that, since Allah God permitted it all, and he's sitting up over it all, it wouldn't have happened without his permission. Since he permitted it all, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, look, here again, let us not be judges, or we're not qualified to judge the family of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And now that there are many lovers of Malcolm who are still around, and after the many dialogues that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had with the daughters of Malcolm on the road to some reconciliation, atonement, reconciliation, and restoration, then let's put a pin in that. Let's we repeat history. That is to say, speak into an atmosphere that we can potentially contribute to divide us again, one against the other. And so, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I love you, Brother Jihad. There's no question about that, man, in my heart and in my mind. And as my brother, Brother Mike, I love you too. But I love Allah and his messenger more. And I am committed to obeying them. And that's their instruction to me. And that is his instruction to us. So I want to put a pin in that, if you don't mind.
I respect that. I respect it. I only brought it up because it was the things that I posted that raised questions, so I can say my voice, you know, what I typed, I'll say, you know what I mean? I don't mind asking those same questions. And I thank you for your answers. I thank you for your participation and everybody else who's participating also.
Mr. Whittle, are you going to be around to take questions? Because we have a lot of people who have questions on the phone, and I don't know if they're for you or Brother James, but are you going to stick around for that?
How long is the show? How much longer do we have?
We have about another 40 minutes.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, I'll be
right. Okay, so I'm going to first yield to Brother Jihad. Brother Jihad, do you have any questions for Mr. Whittle, or Brother James, do you have any questions for Mr. Whittle?
Go ahead, Brother Jihad.
No, go ahead, you good.
No, I was just going to say, first of all, I want to thank you for your coming on the show, for representing your questions and the manner in which you represented them. I appreciate that, dear brother. And my question to you is, since we are in such a volatile atmosphere and time, both of us agree upon that, I think that this could be the start of our personal communication when we have questions of one another and what each other represents, or when we disagree one with the other, we can take that behind doors between ourselves without having the enemy to be a part of it by posting it on Facebook or some other public media access. That's what I would hope, because you have questions, dear brother, and you have a right to have questions. Our concern is that we defend against any slander of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam.
Right.
So that's my question and appeal to you, dear brother.
And the question is?
The question is, can we resolve our differences without going on Facebook and making statements that they're not factually based, because by your own admission, you asked questions And since you asked questions, there were statements that I read.
Right.
I think they were from you. They were rather vile, to tell you the truth. And I'm asking to refrain from the vile statements. Questions are fine, but refrain from the vile statements and assertions and allegements and accusations that are not based on fact.
Okay, yes, we can talk behind closed doors.
Right.
I just disagree that the statements that I made were foul. I had no intention of slandering Mr. Farrakhan. I was in the Nation of Islam in 89 and 90. Loved hearing the speeches, loved all the work the man was doing. I had questions. I was responding to comments that came at me, and I showed clips of why I had those concerns.
Well, let me ask you so that I won't have a thought about you that's just not true. I read a statement which I thought was from you that asked the question, why didn't the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan allow this African doctor to work on him, and if he did, he would have been able to keep his balls. Now, please, Allah forgive me for using these words, but I just want to tell you what I read. Secondly, you said that testicular cancer and prostate cancer, particularly in a divine man, means that they're not living right. Now, if you didn't write that, brother, then pardon me, I was operating on a misunderstanding. Now, did you or did you not write that?
I did write that.
Well, See, that's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you for an explanation of that. Well, that's my point. See, that's vile. That's disrespectful. And that kind of language is what we're not going to tolerate. And my question to you, my appeal to you, is that you cease and desist from that kind of language when you're referencing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. That's what I'm asking you.
Okay. Here's my mission to the first point, yes. The second point, why I made this statement about the prostate cancer and all other ailments being a sign that a person is not on the divine path, because on the divine path you live by specific rules and guidelines where those things can't attack you.
Really?
We're so used to preachers preaching, but also our people don't have a way of gauging divinity. We accept those who sound good and who can talk good. But when you look at a man's lifestyle, how he lives, his health is going to tell you whether or not he's on the path of divinity, which is he's living by divine law, not by no word that nobody preached, but by, and our people have a history of living in conjunction with nature. And when we follow those natural rules and living in conjunction with nature, we don't experience the health problems that the average person would experience, because they're living outside of the law. That's what I mean by that statement.
Well, let me ask you, dear brother, and I appreciate that explanation, but let me ask you this. Was Job a divine servant and messenger of God living outside of the law of God when he was afflicted with all kinds of rashes, bumps, and diseases, blisters? Job lost his children. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. Let me ask you a question. Because of the physical condition that God had allowed Satan to impose on Job, was that because Job was living outside of divine law? I don't think so. I'm asking it rhetorically, so let me finish. I don't think so, because when Satan met with God, the scripture says the sons of God gathered before God, and Satan was there also. And God said, whence comest thou, Satan? And I'm sure that the sons of God didn't recognize Satan because he looked just like them. But God recognized him. And he said, "Whence comest thou, Satan?" And Satan said, "I have been going up and down and to and fro in the earth, seeking whom I can devour." Well, what was the next statement of God? God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" My servant Job. Well, why was he God's servant? Because he was an obedient man to God. He served God, obeyed the rules, regulations, statutes, and laws of God. He was God's servant. And then God said, and then Satan said, "Yes, I've been considering him, but you have this protective hedge around him." And God said, according to the scriptural record, he said, "Well, I'll remove the hedge and all, and you can do what you so please to Job." Because Satan said, "If you remove that hedge, I'll make the man curse you to your face." So he removed the hedge because he knew what kind of servant he made in Job. He knew that no matter what kind of affliction, what kind of suffering, he could be brought to death's door, not one time, not two times, but three times, and still that servant, Job, would not denounce God.
You better teach.
And it wasn't because Job or Farrakhan was living some life outside of divine parameters. It was because God allowed him to be tested. And let me say this to all of you, including you, dear brother. Whenever you are on a divine path, then you're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus told the man when he was asked, "Master, how do I obtain the kingdom?" He said, "Do the law." The man said, "I'm already doing that." And then Jesus said, "Go home, sell all of your possessions, and take the money and give that to the poor." Then he said, "Pick up your cross," not my cross, "pick up your cross and follow me." So Jesus was telling the man, as I have a cross that I have to bear, so does everyone that follows in my footsteps or professes to follow in my footsteps. They're not going to escape the suffering of the cross, the suffering of the crucifixion, the betrayal, the lies, the deceit, the suffering. They're not going to escape that. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was brought to death's door by the permission of Almighty God Allah, it wasn't because he was outside of divine law and its statutes and its parameters. It was because God was taking him through the path or in the line of a savior. And that's exactly what he did. And the proof of it is when people counted him out. In fact, the enemies of both Farrakhan and you and I, these Jews of the synagogue of Satan, they had already wrote his epitaph because they knew he was going to die. Yet Allah brought him to death's door and then brought him back to life. And he stands before us now, strong, bold, uncompromising, and might I add, beautiful physically. And as we look at him, we behold that he's not getting older, he's getting younger. And this is the God that's crying the man. And we can't say that we're going to follow a man like that and expect not to suffer some of what he suffered or to taste some of what he tasted. And I wonder how many of us will be faithful if we even have a hint of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or Jesus or Job went through. I only pray to Allah that he have mercy on me and allow me to remain faithful. So I just wanted to say that, brother. It's not because of him living out of divine law. I'm finished.
Okay. All right. Listen, time is winding down, and we have to address the audience because there are many questions. So, DJ Black Caesar, are you there? I gotta give me time to unmute this phone. DJ Black Caesar? Okay, we're going to take a call from area code 305. Your mic is open. Area code 305, your mic is open. Area code 305, going once, going twice. Okay. Area code 314.
Assalamualaikum.
Brother Kareem.
Yes, assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum
salam. Yes, and as always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, because I'm going to be real quick here, I want to, first of all, thank you all for this forum, because it's a beautiful thing when we can come together and get some answers. I wanted to say one thing before I do ask my question. In reference to what Student Minister James Muhammad just said, and when you study the scriptures, period, across the board, there is a saying among the wise that Almighty God, Allah, when you become His servant, truly become His servant, disease is your best friend, because it is part, those trials are part of what keeps you on the path. But now my question is this, since we have covered this ground, and you both have represented yourselves beautifully, but since we have covered this ground, and the question is to both individuals, Mr. Whittle and also Student Minister James Muhammad, what can we do now to bridge this gap so that we don't fall victim to the slander, so that we can continue to move forward and raise ourselves up as a nation?
All right. We're going to yield to Mr. Whittle. You have an answer for Brother Kareem?
Oh, okay. What we can do now, continue to support each other. One of the things that I do, I don't belong to one or any particular organization. I support many organizations and work on many fronts to help where I can. If the Nation of Islam in my area is doing something, I support them. If I'm doing something, they support me. I have an upcoming event, and I know the brothers are going to be there. The thing is, I raised these questions, and I've asked some of them these questions. They didn't have an answer, so I brought it here. However, I'm satisfied with what I've heard, and I will continue to do what I can to support anybody that's trying to liberate us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Whittle, and Brother James.
Yes, ma'am. I think that's a wonderful answer. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in his magnificent and historical message and event, the Million Man March, which was based on atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. Let us go through the process of atonement. Point out the wrong. Acknowledge the wrong. Repent from the wrong. Forgive the wrong. Restore ourselves back to what we once were before the wrong occurred.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the steps of atonement. Restore, reconcile our differences and become one again. We can do that with civilized, careful, and unbiased dialogue. But never, ever must we bring our differences before the enemy of both of us, of all of us as a people who hates us and works day and night for our destruction.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. And thank you for your question, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to take a call from DJ Black Caesar. I think you're back with me from area code 661. Your mic is live. Area code 661, your mic is live. Going once, going twice. Okay, area code 443. Your mic is live.
This is Brother Wolf. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum
salam, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Praise be to Allah. Hopefully everyone else is doing fine. I wanted to respond to the brother concerning our brother Tyler Perry. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he made his statement on the, I believe it was the first of the year, I knew that he was going to get this backlash. But what I also understand, without trying to belittle our dear brother who was courageous enough and man enough to come and step up to the plate to ask his questions, our people have really been dumbed down and failed to understand the English language. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in the 11th week of his timely lecture to the time in which he put out of sort of like a rebuttal or somewhat of an explanation without going into an explanation about his statement concerning Tyler Perry. And I'm going to read it real briefly. It's real quick. He said that, "I never saw Tyler Perry as a man promoting cross-dressing. I saw him promoting Madea, that great woman in the life of black people. Of course it was done in a comic way, but nevertheless, the scriptures of the Bible teach against women dressing like men, and it teaches against men dressing like women. And even in the Old Testament, the punishment for so doing was death under the law of Moses." Okay, so when the minister made the statement, I knew that the detractors and those that disliked him would make an issue over nothing. So the minister had to waste a couple of seconds of his and our valuable time trying to wake us up to address something that we should have already known. You don't know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to promote interracial marriage. You don't know him to be a promoter of cross-dressing, homosexuality, or lesbianism. You don't find that in his record. But yet, when he makes a small statement, people want to read into it as if he's deviating. And you're falling into the hands and into the trap of the synagogue of Satan. And like our brother that we spoke to yesterday said, that Satan has control over the vibrations of our intentions. And our intentions really are unpure. And we have to be careful and mindful, whose agenda are we fulfilling? Are we fulfilling Allah's agenda, or are we doing the agenda of Satan? I just wanted to mention that to our brother, and I hope you don't take offense. I just wanted to make that statement clear and put clarity to that and put that statement to rest, because we had a big, long, drawn-out debate about that, and they, some people made the leap that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was now promoting this wicked lifestyle, which is absolutely false. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Walter, and if either one of you, Brother Student Minister James or Mr. Whittle, if either one of you want to comment to Brother Walter, you may do so at this time.
Okay, I'll comment. First, I want to thank him for his comment, and thanks for sharing that with me. When I heard the statement that he made, I didn't think that was a homosexual or cross-dressing and stuff like that. And nor am I one of those who don't like Minister Farrakhan. I question everybody, no matter who it is. That's just one of the things I do. It has nothing to do with liking or disliking a person. But my thing was, I thought of the buffoonery, the clowning, and that's what I got hit with myself. You know, that's just how I looked at that whole character. You know what I mean? And I know about the discipline and all that, you know, because she's, you know, it's a no-nonsense character, but there's also a lot of buffoonery and stuff like that. So that's how I look at it, and why I promote such that kind of character. I knew the minister. I know for a fact the minister is not involved or endorsed or nothing like that. I wouldn't even go there with that, though. But I thank you, brother, for sharing that also.
You're welcome, brother. And I wasn't saying you, but it was some other people out there that we actually had a debate with that wanted to make the leap to say that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is now supporting that. And I just wanted to put that out there if they're listening. That's a portrait.
Yeah, that was nice.
Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Brother James, do you want to expound on that further?
No, I don't. I think it was addressed wonderfully. Thank you.
Okay.
Both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again, Brother Walter, for your support, and thank you for your question. Okay, DJ Black Caesar, we're going to go to area code 615. Waalaikum salam, Brother Maurice.
Thank you, Queen. Mike, I'm not ready to sing Kumbaya yet. Your statements that you have made, you know, were very strong statements, and then you said you've been in the Nation of Islam before. You even quoted your wife. You said in one of the statements on May 23rd, said that I have been accused of making some bold statements about Farrakhan, but my wife is bolder than me. Her take is, I ain't following no man that got his balls cut off, and knowing him, he probably wanted them cut off by the white man. I laugh my ass off, my wife goes hard. So, you know, with that and the other comments that you made, even the comments that you made about, you know, the debate slash discussion for this evening, and being in the Nation of Islam, I would think that some of the answers that you've gotten from tonight, you already knew those answers. My question to you is, with the statements that you have made, are you truly 100% back to being a fan of Farrakhan, or somebody who can honestly say with all integrity that, you know, I'm down with the cause, or are you still, you know, on the opposite side where you said that, you know, they're not, we're being deceived, so we're being lied to? What side are you truly on?
I did post that. I did make that statement. You know, I own it. Yeah. And I said that as a joke, because that's what my wife said as a joke, and that's how I reported it. It was a joke. That's why I laughed. But that's her. Whose side am I on? I'm on the side of those who want to work for the advancement of us. I've had questions about Minister Farrakhan and whether or not he was still leading us down that path of separation and independence that was started by Elijah Muhammad. When I saw pictures of him, well, not him, but top ministers of the Nation of Islam, I don't know if they were hired or on post at a lot of meetings where there were a lot of European people, and seeing some of the pictures that Farrakhan has taken with these same people who over the years he has been calling devils, then I got a question: is he still on the path, or what's going on with the brother? And when I put together all of the questions that did come up, like I said, this was about me wondering about the character of this brother. You know what I mean? So I asked him like that, and then, you know, I got some rude comments came at me, and I played into them. You know what I mean? But I really wonder if he's still working on our behalf, because there's a lot of statements made by John Henry Clark and some others in the past who have had dealings with him and intimate conversations with him, who have asked him for support on certain issues, but they couldn't get that support. And his support would have changed the dynamics of a lot of things, because this is a man who has the great oratorical skill that if he throw a word out there, he can change everything overnight. Just because of how many people listen to the brother. You know what I mean? So it's when I put all this together, I question the character of the man. We can, you know, and I'm just not into calling people holy or appointed by God and stuff. I'm just not into that like that. I went through the phases of believing that men are going to bring us a message that's going to save us, when I understand, and me, my understanding is that I'm going to have to use some of everybody's message to save me. You know what I mean? Not no one man. So I can't say that I'm on Farrakhan's side 100%. I do subscribe to a lot of the things that Elijah Muhammad put out, and it made me wonder, do he still subscribe to them? Because I've seen a lot of the photos and stuff like that where I'm involved with a lot of people, and top ministers involved with a lot of the so-called blue-eyed devils.
So would it be fair to say that you're lukewarm then, since you're not on this side, but you're not off the side, you're lukewarm?
Listen, yes, sir, because, like I said, I agree with a lot of what Elijah Muhammad said as a program. But like I see, my view of scripture is a lot of it's metaphorical, and a lot of us take it for historical reference instead of metaphorical reference. Like when the brother brought up Job, that's a metaphor. You know what I mean? That's just a metaphor. And a lot of us are taught scriptures as if they're actual facts. When a lot of this is a bunch of African folklore, you know, or a spinoff from African folklore. You know what I mean? Some historicity is involved, but not a lot. You know what I mean? So that's another thing that I, when people bring up the scripture side of things, I kind of lean back because I don't agree with everybody's perception of it. But as far as the program that Elijah put forth that would usher us to independence, there's a certain frame of mind we all have to have, you know what I mean? And regardless of what our personal theology or ideology is, there's a certain frame of mind we all have to become independent and free.
Yes, sir.
And that's one thing that Elijah did. He gave us that frame of mind. It wasn't so much about the theology of it. The theology is that just a part of our African heritage, that we would present mythology and theology as a foundation, and as we matured, that theology became a science, a way of life for us. You know what I mean? And they were not being taught it like that. But Elijah did it like that. That's why it produced what it did.
Yes, sir.
So that would make me question whether or not the brother's on track, because their brother Ali Muhammad mentioned that the financial program that was in place, is it producing what it produced back then? You know, we're talking farms, factories, schools, you know what I mean? Schools all over the country, not just in Chicago. It was, you know, we had Sister Claire Muhammad right out in Philadelphia. So it is schools all over the nation. The nation was just tremendous work in the United States.
Can I say something?
They did tremendous work. But it looks like today that work, and it may be, I got to admit, it may be, see, when the messenger was on the scene, it has a different impact on the people. So, you know, got to take that into account. And I got to take into account Waruddin Muhammad did undo a lot of things when he came into the, see, I joined also the World Community of Islam in 77. That was when I first took my Shahada into Islam. But then I began to question some of those practices, and I came away from that, okay? So me, I lean more towards African spirituality.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sister
okay.
Elijah, may I say something, sister?
Yes.
I would like to read what the minister put on his Facebook page today or last night. He said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said once that it is more important to teach separation than to teach prayer. Allah God knows that we need prayer, but if we don't separate from an enemy bent on our destruction, prayer alone will not help us to survive. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad points out to us in the scriptures of Bible and Quran that the days has arrived for our separation, and the enemy has used integration as a hypocritical trick to make those of us who have been under his foot for 400 years think that our 400-year-old enemy has all of a sudden become our friend. We must wake up to the time and what must be done in such a time. It is not a time for integration. It is a time for us to separate from our former slave masters and their children and go for self, do for self, and build a nation under the guidance of Almighty God. So that's what he said today in regarding separation. So to answer the brother question, he is 100% for separation, brother.
Okay. What about the photograph?
Sir? You said what about
any
the photograph?
Any comment on the pictures and photographs and the leaves?
Yeah, let me go ahead and speak on that. the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said in Savior's Day 1965, he said, I'm not a self-made and self-sent. I'm made and sent. I have the power of God and the heavens and the nation of righteousness on my side. It is up to you to protect your own citizens. It is up to you to protect your yourselves. I would not get happy over something like this. I have many friends. I have it in all types of people. I have it from the white race. I have it from the black race. I have all kinds of friends. 1965 Savior's Day. So that's the message of saying that he has white friends. So if you see the minister on the picture with a white boy or whatever, well, nevertheless, just because a person take a picture with somebody doesn't mean that they're actually friends. That doesn't mean anything. So I can take a picture with a couple of people around the block, and I've been teaching them. The teachers and the messenger, we all take a picture together, but I don't know these people from a can of paint. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
okay.
that we're all friends. So, we just can't, you know, take a picture off face value and say, oh, look, the minister's pushing integration. Nah, we can't do that.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Who is that? I just want to say this real fast to the brother, too. And I want to really get it to the brother on the other end of this conversation. I want to ask you about some other questions, pictures that I have in my possession, but I won't ask them on the air. I'll ask you directly because I will concede to what you asked me earlier about bringing these things directly to you rather than airing them or posting them. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that, dear brother. And that which I can answer, I shall, with the help of Allah.
Yeah,
that which I
can,
I won't attempt to. But I'll give you my number.
Okay.
You can call me directly. And that's anybody that wants to call. It's 813-481. It's 813-481-3921.
Let's say the last four digits again.
Yeah. 813-481-3921.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Time is winding down, and we still have a lot of questions. So thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you, Brother Maurice. And let's go to area code 706, DJ Black Season, please. Area code 706, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam.
This is Brother Eddie, and I've been enjoying the conversation.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Eddie.
Yes, walaikum salam, sir. I got in a little late. I got in right before we were discussing the album, so I apologize. I didn't get to hear it all, but I will definitely watch the replay. I wanted to say real quick, because I know we are running out of time. But I wanted to address something I think addresses the way Minister James has handled this and addresses what the brother said, that he had questions before and many he talked to brothers and they couldn't answer. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that I have no dumb followers. He also said that what we have is an invincible truth. So in order to spread that truth and to handle questions, because there will always be questions in opposition, we must, all of us, in post or no post, be in constant study. Because even though it is an invincible truth, even if we do not know, then we cannot use it. I also want to say that speaking of what this reminds me of is what Jesus said. We're talking to Peter. Peter got a little cross with Jesus, but he didn't say, as the minister put it, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. So when we see a brother expressing misunderstandings and misconceptions of the man of God, that is not him. He is our brother. But the enemy is who originated this controversy, and he is the one who originated this contradiction. So that is what we're addressing. We're not at odds with our brother, because he is still one of the chosen of God and one of the lost sheep. For my question that I'd like you both to address, if you will, when we conflict with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whose work and record is clean enough to prove that they are qualified as even if you do not believe them to be the Christ and the Jesus and the Messiah and the man of God, they are more than qualified to be the only black standing leaders. As Minister Ava said this past Sunday in a lecture, the spokesperson for the ADL said the only leader of the African-American people is Minister Farrakhan. So he recognizes that everybody else is maybe prominent, as you put it, but they are not leaders. So when we contradict him and contradict him in a manner that is either slanderous or contradict him in a manner that seeks to defame or to disprove him as being worth anything, and I'm not saying this to the brother, I'm just talking on a general level, then what are we saying? Are we saying that we love this world? Are we saying that we love the enemy, the slave master's children? Why is it that we cannot have questions, as the brother seems to be doing, have honest questions and then get them answered, and then when they're proven, not just go back to what we were and say we had a good conversation, clap our hands, and go back to the same foolishness and ignorance, but if we prove to you, and we absolutely do on a consistent basis, that what we are saying is the absolute truth, and is it not wise to leave the previous point and move on to the truth? Is it not wise to give that up? You know, even when we're talking, one day I would like to hear, if it would be all right, the brother talked about the exegesis, and he didn't agree with a lot of the scripture, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said if you could prove one word to be false, then he would pay you $10,000 out of his brother's pocket. Excuse me. That still exists today. So one day I think we should talk about that, because that is a critical point to proving the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he is a man from the scripture. But my question is, why can't we have the type of debate that grows us? Why can't we do that? Why can't we have these questions? And why, when we hear these answers, we go back to where we were and continue in the same foolishness? If my question has clarity, I can pray that you can both address that. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you for your question, Brother Eddie. Okay, and Mr. Whittle, do you want to respond?
A while back, I posted some of these same questions, and I never got this far. This is the farthest I got with answers, you know what I mean? A lot of times, I was running into people who, when questions came up, they took it as an attack on Minister Farrakhan, so they didn't want to satisfy me with an answer. They would rather quote some stuff, throw some scripture at me, call me a few names, call me an agent, just because I posed some questions. I'm satisfied with what I got here tonight. I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about me. If I have questions, I'm going to call this brother who just gave me his number. Okay? Any of those questions that, if they wake me up in the middle of the night or whatever, they bother me. If I hear or see the minister do anything and I have a question about it, I'm going to call that brother. I'm not going to post it on there no more, okay? And I apologize if I offended anybody for the post. Yeah, I took some darts also, you know, and here or there, but you don't have to worry about me doing that anymore. However, I do want to make another comment when the brother said there's no standing leader. There's a brother who has about 40 or so temples all over the United States and outside of the United States teaching African spirituality. And, he has a dynamic thing going, and their very own businesses, it's a self-contained unit, and they got a beautiful thing going. However, they just not out there, you know, on microphones and banging drums to get anybody's attention. But they're out there and they're working diligently. They're doing good for our communities all over the United States and in London, parts of Africa, down in the Caribbean. So it's just not, Minister Farrakhan is not the only leader out there. There are brothers that are out there. And I know this one brother specifically that is doing great work. All his temples are doing great work, you know what I mean, in reforming and raising our people to a level of consciousness that we can be the new Jesuses of today. See, this is not about no one man possessing divinity, but about all of us possessing divinity and realizing that and manifesting that in everything that we do. But he's one of the brothers that's out there doing it. It's not just Minister Farrakhan. There's a few brothers that are doing work, and we need to, I support all of them that are doing work like that. However, like I said, I'm more towards African spirituality. That's why my position on the scriptures is so much different than what is taught in the Nation of Islam, which is different from what is taught in the church and different from what is taught in the religion of Islam and Judaism. Okay? But, yeah, as far as I'm done with the questioning, You know, like I said, if I have another question about anything Farrakhan says, does, I might misinterpret, misunderstand, I'm going to ask somebody about it. That's why I put the questions out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Whittle. And Brother James, did you want to respond to Brother Eddie? And we have three more questions that we're going to take before we close. So, Brother James.
Well, I think it was responded to very well. And, of course, dear Brother Eddie, always wonderful to hear from you, and I'm in agreement with you. And I'm going to leave it there because I want to be respectful of time, and I want those people who are on the line to get an opportunity. I know we're going to go over time, Sister Gidget, so allow those who have questions online or on the phone to pose their questions or make their statements. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, and DJ Black Caesar, let's go ahead with Chicago 773.
Hey,
Walaikum salam.
It's Brother Daniel, family.
Oh.
Wow. Walaikum salam, Brother Daniel.
Yes.
Yes. I want to read something to the to Mr. Whittle. When you all was discussing Malcolm, I want to say this from a book by one of our brothers, Brother James Najee, My Years with Louis Farrakhan and Malcolm X. This was referring to the time of Malcolm's death and how the believers in Mosque Number 7 reacted. The following week, the ultimate tragedy happened. That Sunday, February 21st, 1965, while I was standing at the front post rostrum in our new Corona Temple, Minister George 7X interrupted his lecture to announce that Minister Malcolm has been shot. You may be under the impression we hollered hooray. What I heard was sorrowful, oh no. I was petrified by the announcement, though it did not come as a complete surprise. And I want to read something, how the people, I want to read another passage also during that time. A few minutes later, Minister George announced that Malcolm was dead. There was a sporadic yet somber applause. Some sisters fainted. Some men and women cried right before our eyes. Most were in shock and remained silent. But I do not know what they did at other temples or care what people read in books or papers. But I do know what I witnessed at the Corona Temple. It was indeed a very sad moment for us all.
Yes,
Mr. Whittle, you know, all due respect, sir, we in the nation, what happened to Malcolm X on February 21st, 1965, sir, we had our Mars firebomb in Los Angeles and also our Mars in San Francisco, Mars 26, sir. So it wasn't like we praised Malcolm. We were attacked also. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother Daniel, for sharing that piece of history with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, I don't know what that noise is, but it's very irritating. So if somebody got their computer on, if you're talking on speaker, please mute your computer. Okay, we're going to take the last two questions. Area code 561.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Wow.
It's not coming from my phone.
Okay, area code 561.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
How you doing, Brother James? It's Brother Kobe X from West Palm Beach. Hello, can you hear me?
Great. Good to hear your voice,
yeah,
dear brother.
Wait a minute, Brother James, that's your phone. Can you move around a little bit?
It is?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. How's it now? No, that's not my phone.
We still hear it. We're still here, but go ahead, Brother Jacoby. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum, Brother James. Assalamualaikum, sister. Assalamualaikum, Brother Witter.
Assalamualaikum, sir.
Can anyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
The Holy Quran says, it's a part of the Holy Quran says, be careful when people bring you news, unless you look carefully into it and harm a people. When they say that, there also is a statement in the book of Revelation about a frog on the mouth of a dragon, or three spirits in the mouth of a false prophet, a dragon, and a beast. And these three men, these three individuals, went out into the world to wake up the kings and different rulers for battle. I'm saying that sometimes in our misunderstanding of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we are being ensnared into a trap that we ourselves necessarily did not originate. The Honorable Minister of Farrakhan, I was told, in the 1980s, had a Final Call newspaper and had a black man on that newspaper on a cross. And it had three individuals that played a part in the crucifixion of that man, and that man was a white man, an Arab, and a black man. So sometimes we have to be very, very careful because we are being engineered as a part of a plot and don't realize the part that we are playing. I just wanted to say, Brother Widow, I thank Allah for your words, and I thank Allah for you recognizing and being humble enough to understand where you went wrong, and for you seeking guidance and counsel from the brotherhood and from the believers. And my last thing that I want to say is the best way to not to be deceived is knowing that you could.
Good point.
Thank you, Brother Jacoby. Okay, last question. Area code 205. Area code 205.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. It's Brother Todd out of Birmingham, Alabama. One of the main questions I have was Brother Witto and a few other people who are out there constantly following and monitoring the minister and the Nation of Islam and what we're doing. And they're always monitoring us, dealing with, you know, negativity. But I don't see them posting anything regarding Satan himself, like the ADL, like the government, or like the brother mentioned, a couple of other people he say out there that's doing good work. But I don't see no posts up there regarding what they're not doing. So my question to them is, why is your main focus on the Nation of Islam and on Minister Louis Farrakhan and not on Satan himself?
Good question.
Is that question to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. If you will, I've been posting on Facebook for a few years now. I've questioned Nobudri Ali. I've questioned Louis Farrakhan's activity. I question quite a few other people. I may mention, if you look at my post, I bring information from so many different fields. I'm talking about from science to health. You know what I mean? And I post a lot of information, and I raise questions also. I put a lot of information out there. I've been a reader for the last 37 years, so I accumulated a lot of information that I just got into the Facebook thing about 3 years ago. And all I did was use it as a vehicle to just push information, share it with people, questions, concerns, or whatever. You know what I mean? So when it came, it was not that I singled out Farrakhan. I had questions about Obama. I had questions about a lot of people. He's not the only one. So I raised questions about, the example was, went through a thing with a lot of members of the Moorish Sign Temple of America because I had questions about Nobudri Ali. The thing is, people get offended when you question or you disagree
with the things that they believe or they embrace. And instead of answering questions, a lot of them want to attack just because you ask the question. So they're not just paradox, but no.
These are black leaders you're questioning. I'm talking about Satan himself.
And, well, you know what? I don't view Satan. I view it as, for me, I subscribe to ancient communities, spirituality, and when it comes to Satan, I'm looking at something that's within me. Not nothing outside of me, nothing pulling strings outside of me. It's something in me that pushes me towards violation of divine law. I don't look at it as, no, so if I talk about it, it'd be talking about what I do that is in violation of divine law. Not like somebody else enticing me, motivating me, controlling nothing nowhere else. So that's just my perspective on that.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Thank you for your question. Okay. I think we covered everybody, and for all of you in the chat room, thank you for your support, and thank you for staying with us over. Thank all of the callers on the line who have indulged the extra time that we've taken up. Before we go, we want to lift up the family of Brother Maurice Muhammad in prayer, for his grandmother has fallen ill, and she's currently on life support, so we want to make sure that we keep Brother Maurice and family in prayer, as well as our beloved Brother Jamil Muhammad, who has recently taken ill, but I did speak with him. He is out of the hospital, and he is also recovering, so we want to make sure we continue to pray for them. And I want to just say this to you, Mr. Whittle, as well as the listening audience and anyone who, you know, may have questions or concerns about the activities of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Know with a surety that Allah himself does not compel us to believe. However, we defend the truths of Allah, and we believe in our hearts and our souls and in our minds and our spirits that, of course, Minister Farrakhan is one that is sent to us by Allah himself through our beloved messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. However, we're not trying to bully anyone. We're not trying to make you a believer or anything of that nature. However, we will defend the truth of the word of God and the one who is delivering that word. So, Brother Michael Whittle, I thank you so much for your participation. I thank you for your respect in this matter, and you handled yourself and presented yourself very well. And I just appreciate you coming on and seeking an understanding, whether, you know, if all or most of what you heard you agree with, or whether you disagree with it, I just appreciate the fact that you were in pursuit of the truth and of understanding. And so with that being said, I'm going to yield to Student Minister James for closure, and then we'll depart for tonight after the announcement. Are there any final words from you, Brother James?
Yes, ma'am. Just words of gratitude to all who participated in this quote-unquote debate. I'd rather call it a discussion, which I believe it was more of a discussion than it was a debate. And these are the kinds of forums that we need to engage in to get clarity, always with respect, always with our Muslim posture. We are Muslims. And as such, we have a certain mannerism, and we have a certain code of conduct. And even if others don't observe it, we are obligated to observe the code of conduct and our manner that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has instructed us to be. Now, when we are engaging in these kinds of discourses, we must always remember that we are not the leaders. He is our leader. We are ministers or student ministers
And a minister is one who is in the aid or service of a king or a ruler. The minister carries out instructions. He doesn't necessarily make up his own or give instructions. And this is my posture. While my emotions might run a certain way, I have to submit to my leader, my teacher, my guide. And remember, we must always speak, but before we speak, think five times before we speak. Why five times? I don't know why, to be quite honest. I know that thinking five times gives us a lot more time to say the right thing than thinking once or twice or three times. So I think the principle that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in that statement was consider not only what you say and how you say it and the satisfaction that it might bring, but consider the ramifications of what you say. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in my concluding remarks, he says, the air is the organ of life. And what we say as it enters into the air will either give life or cause death. We are life givers by the help of Allah, and we are saviors, or at least we are trying to be. And again, the life of Jesus was a sacrificial life. The life of Jesus was a life where he put the needs of the people over and above their hatred of him, according to the scriptures. This is why the Christians say that he gave his life for us. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving his life for us. That doesn't mean die. It's easy to die, but to live, when you are under the attack of the most powerful enemies that the world has ever produced, that's hard. That's difficult. So he's doing that in an exemplary way, and while he is doing it, he says, my love for you and the recognition of your need is greater than your hatred for me. So he said, we have to take plenty. This is what he said. He said, we have to take plenty. And if we can't take it, then we're in the wrong job. We're in the wrong position. We are saviors of our people and not destroyers of our people. And in fact about it, God said, Allah said, if he were to visit man, the consequences on man, the consequences of his deeds, there would not be one. Not some, but there would not be one left alive on the earth. So if he has mercy, and he came with mercy to save us from our sin, then certainly if we desire to be the beneficiaries of that mercy, then we should extend some of that to others.
Thank you. And I just pray, it was my prayer before and it's my prayer going forward, that this particular broadcast serves as an example of how we can dialogue with one another respectfully and peaceably and walk away in brotherhood, because we, none of us are in any moral position to judge one from another. That's not our job.
That's right.
Our duty is to provide clarity in our faith and to respect the faith and the position of others, and we hope to be met with that same respect. And I pray that this has been a forum that will go on forward, not only for this blog talk show, but there are many blog talk shows out there of how we as a people can come together, dialogue with one another, and still walk away in a positive atmosphere. So I thank you again, Brother Michael Whittle, and thank you, of course, always, again and again, through the Minister James Muhammad. And That's our show for tonight, and join us tomorrow. Student Minister James will be back with Study Group, Put on the New Man, right here, 8 o'clock Central. Join us on Saturday. We're having Grown Folks Music, Music to Love By, with Brother Kareem and Brother Daniel out of Chicago, and Brother Jihad Ali, who was on here, our moderator tonight. He said he's going to sing, so you don't want to miss that Saturday night at 8 o'clock on Young Gifted and Black. And on Sunday, join us for No Romance Without Finance, hosted by Brother Vernon Muhammad at 6:30 p.m. Central. On Monday, Brother Kareem will be back with Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. Central. On Tuesday, Brother Jihad will be back with Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and friends will be right here at 7 p.m. Central. And, of course, next week I will be back. What I'm going to be talking about, I do not know, but you know I'll let you know. So thank all of you again. I greet you as I came before you, or as I intended to come before you, in our greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, one nation, one love. Good night, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.